Web streaming of 90.3 WPLN-FM is made possible by listener support and by Vanderbilt University Medical Center, the promise of discovery. Learn how you can support this service at NashvillePublicRadio.org.
Next edition of Says You, Public Radio's last stand for eloquence and precision.
Something to do with nuts and bolts, kind of. Only with grease on it.
Something.
It's a thing that screws onto a thing.
It's a
right.
Thing that's, yeah.
I got it.
And you can dance to it.
Millions sold at $9.95, not yours for only $7.77.
Now, we don't want to leave the impression that this is a frivolous enterprise. Far from it. We conduct serious linguistic discussions.
That's when you have a parenthetical phrase inside a parenthetical phrase inside a parenthetical phrase.
Which actually isn't there.
Right.
Exactly.
Then. You knew that. Absolutely.
I'm going to put an end to this.
Wait a minute.
But in the end, it's about the definitions. It's about the humor. It's about the words. A smattering. That was an actual smattering of applause. Says You and All That Entails, next.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. Former South Dakota Senator and presidential nominee George McGovern has died at the age of 90. McGovern had gone into hospice care early last week. His family says that by Wednesday, he was no longer responsive. NPR's Pam Fessler looks back at McGovern's political career.
McGovern was a soft-spoken man, but he became one of the nation's most outspoken opponents of the Vietnam War. Democrats chose him to be their presidential nominee in 1972. In his acceptance speech, McGovern called the divisive incumbent, Richard Nixon, the fundamental issue of the campaign.
All of us are going to help him redeem a pledge he made 10 years ago that next year you won't have Richard Nixon to kick around anymore.
But instead, Nixon won in a huge landslide. McGovern was reelected for his third Senate term in 1974, but defeated in 1980. Earlier, he served two terms in the U.S. House. Throughout his career, McGovern was a strong advocate of government aid for the hungry and the poor. Pam Fessler, NPR News, Washington.
Former Senate Majority Leader Tom Daschle is a fellow Democrat from South Dakota. He says McGovern was one of a kind.
He was a passionate, committed progressive who cared deeply about the country and about the world, and looking for ways with which to make sure that the next generation can live better lives. He was an amazing mentor and inspiration to us all.
A family spokesman says funeral services are to be held in Sioux Falls. Both President Obama and Republican Mitt Romney are spending the weekend preparing for tomorrow's third and final debate of the campaign. NPR's Allison Keyes reports.
This debate focuses on foreign policy. The president is hunkered down with advisors at Camp David while Romney is huddling with aides in Florida. The moderator, Bob Schieffer of CBS News, has indicated he'll spend more time on the Middle East and terrorism than on any other topic. The Romney camp has been criticizing the Obama administration's response to the attack on the U.S. consulate in Libya, which killed four Americans, including the U.S. ambassador. On Friday, Mr. Obama accused his opponent of suffering from what the president calls Romnesia, saying the Republican nominee is forgetting his past positions on the issues. Recent polls show the race tightening both nationally and in swing states as the election looms closer. Allison Keyes, NPR News, Washington.
Heavy gunfire and riots in Beirut today as thousands gathered for the funeral of the top intelligence official who was among those killed in Friday's car bombing. The gunfire apparently erupted after protesters tried to storm the offices of the Lebanese prime minister, demanding he quit over the killing that many blame on neighboring Syria. Fazi Farah lives in Beirut.
I think it's part of the transformation of the country. Hopefully we have to go, we have to buy, it's a kind of a poison pill which we have to swallow until we reach a point where we can learn how to live with each other peacefully.
This is NPR. Today's car bombing in Damascus has claimed the lives of at least 13 people. Officials say the bomb exploded outside a police station in a mainly Christian neighborhood. The bombing happened as the International Peace Envoy on Syria is pressing his call for a brief ceasefire in Syria's civil war. Lakhdar Brahimi is in Damascus this weekend, and today he met with President Bashar al-Assad. Brahimi is seeking a temporary truce during an upcoming Muslim holiday. It's hoped that it might pave the way for a longer-term ceasefire. Colder weather is moving into mountainous parts of Afghanistan. That usually signals the winding down of the fighting season. But NPR's Sean Carberry reports that insurgents are still active across eastern and southern Afghanistan.
In the last few days, insurgents have killed two district council members in southern Helmand province, destroyed a food storage warehouse belonging to a NATO contractor, and have claimed credit for an insider attack where an Afghan police officer and a cook orchestrated the killing of six fellow officers. Here in eastern Logar province, insurgents are still staging IED attacks and regularly shelling coalition bases. NATO forces say insurgents are looking to stage at least one more high-profile attack in Logar before winter. Despite the snow starting to cap the surrounding mountains, troops here say they expect insurgent activity to continue into late November. Sean Carberry, NPR News, Logar Province, Afghanistan.
A physician who pioneered bone marrow transplants has died at a cancer center in Portland, Oregon. Says E. Donald Thomas died this weekend of heart disease at age 92. He's credited with groundbreaking work in the treatment of leukemia, and he won the 1990 Nobel Prize in Medicine. I'm Giles Snyder, NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from the William T. Grant Foundation, supporting research to improve the lives of young people, online at wtgrantfoundation.org.
Welcome to Says You, a game of bluff and bluster, words and whimsy.
Support for Says You in Nashville, Tennessee, comes from the good folks at WPLN, Nashville Public Radio.
Now, join our panelists and your host, Richard Schur.
Thank you. Thank you. From the stage of the Polk Theater at TPAC in Nashville, Tennessee, welcome to Says You, a simple game with words played by two teams, the first of which sits stereo right. He's probably the guy you came to see. We, too, find it hard to look away from Mr. Tony Khan. His He's probably the one who will utter the...
Excuse me, I'd like a raise.
Yeah, really.
It would seem like the appropriate time.
Yes, it did.
He's never said that before. 400 shows. I've never heard that before.
Probably the guy you came to see. I know. He's probably the one who will utter the most inappropriate remarks of the evening. And he just can't wait to get started. Murray Horowitz. And she's probably the only one up there with a proper sense of this occasion. So we only hope she stays. Miss Francine Akbar. Who's going to assume the mantle?
The always inappropriate.
Irrepressible.
Murray Horowitz will be the captain. To my left, team two, she's the hot fudge in our Sunday, the fizz in the Says You frap, Paula Lyons. He's a veritable fountain of information, and he'll give you his 2 cents plain, Arnie Reisman. And she feels the poor, undervalued pun doesn't get a fair shake. And she's here tonight to shake things up, Miss Carolyn Faye Fox. The leader is...
Our Lady of the Frap.
Yeah, a woman called Fudgy.
Gee, thanks.
Paula will captain. Correct answers are worth 10 points or whatever fraction thereof deemed appropriate. We always advise new listeners to grab a pen and paper. Let's begin. Several years ago, we came across the word Grawlix, G-R-A-W-L-I-X, which is that string of symbols in comic strips that denotes profanity. Since then, the world of comic terminology has opened up to us, and today we revisit. Please tell me what might be meant by the following terms from comic book artistry. Carolyn?
Bam.
What might be meant by emanata? E-M-A-N-A-T-A. Emanata.
Emanata would be any signs or symbols emanating from someone's mouth, like Z's to indicate sleep.
No, you're close. No. You're getting you're okay, getting
it
there.
Emanation, right?
It should
Isn't it emanation? Yeah.
It is emanation. That's what we're coming from. What do you think? What have you seen in comics that might?
Thought balloons?
No.
We already had the one where the heat emanating from a body has those marks.
Yes, right, those are called endotherms, I believe.
Endotherms. So, well, if it's not the Z's or the bubbles leading up to thoughts.
Yeah.
What the heck is it?
So are you...
Emanata.
Is it a smell?
Not a smell, no.
It's a sound.
No.
It's not a sound.
It's
well,
not.
We've got three more senses to go.
Yeah, that's... You were right in the beginning that it had
Is it lines that indicate motion?
Not motion, no. Not
emotion.
Well, you got
thinking.
The... I'm sorry?
Emotion,
thinking.
Like a beating heart?
Thinking is much more to the point.
All
Have
right.
you ever seen a character surprised or in shock?
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
you see those lines coming
yes.
around his head, shooting
Fever.
Out and,
right.
you know, indicating surprise
Tremors.
And shock?
Mm-hmm.
Those are emanata.
That's
oh,
what
well,
I look like right. in the morning
so,
when
right.
I get up, Richard.
Yes,
it's called a bad hair day.
What do you figure, audience? Well, 6 points for getting emanation and... Yeah, 6 points. 6 points.
Yeah.
Here's a tough one, Tony, but see if you can get it. What might be meant by a leucaflect?
Who?
A leucaflect.
Spell it.
L-U-C-A-F-L-E-C-T. Leucaflect.
When you are overcome by respect and emotion for a guy named Luca. You and fall you... upon one knee, which is the flecked part.
Yes.
And you leucaflect.
Another way of answering your question is to say, I have no idea.
Well,
is that the light bulb over the head?
No, it is not.
Luca,
a leucaflect.
Does it have to do with light?
Yes, it does.
Okay. So it's light. So how do they do light?
Anyone on the other side want to take a shot?
It sounds like a comic book painted by Thomas Kincaid.
Yeah, it does. Hey, smattering. That was an actual smattering of applause. Did you see that? Those of you who are not familiar with smattering. Anyone in the audience want to give it a shot?
Is it the little window reflected off of somebody's bald head?
That is exactly correct.
Hey!
Who is that guy up there?
Yeah.
It's actually a shiny spot on any surface. But it's depicted as a window, that four-pane
right.
window shape that you see, and that's the reflection. Very good from the audience.
Wow. Great.
Try this one, Arnie. What might be meant by...
How many points would that be?
Give them, what do you think, 6 points for them?
Yeah,
the 6 points.
Not we had.
Yeah. 10 for the audience.
10
for the audience, definitely.
By all means. You got to bring your own scorecards, though.
Right.
You can't tell the audience without a scorecard, is it?
No, feel free, please. Arnie, what
yeah.
might... Sorry, did I scare you there?
Yeah, of course.
What might be meant by squeens?
You want to spell that?
S-Q-U-E-A-N-S, squeens.
S-Q-U... Does that have anything to do with squeaming?
Or squeezing.
Or squeezing.
Not really.
Squeezing?
No, not
really.
Squeens.
Queens. So it's not like eek, I saw a mouse or something like that.
No, not really.
Okay.
Oh, that's a. I wonder what the eek I saw.
They're probably
a mouse
called or... ecograms or something.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Any help, guys? Squeens.
Is it what happens when a cartoon character is sort of twirled around so that it looks almost like a barbershop pole?
Spinning
and
out of
and
control.
Well, spinning and out of control has a lot to do with this.
Spinning and out of control.
It is then.
Like the Roadrunner? Like the Roadrunner?
No, that's not it. But
no, that's not it.
Spinning and out of control.
Spinning and out of control.
So they're the wobble marks when something spins?
Are they the little
spins?
Lines with stars and
yeah.
that sort of thing? The
tweet
from the center portion at which the cartoon character is...
Knocked out?
Knocked out or an explosion or movement?
It's not knocked out or something like that, but it's... You're very, very close.
Denoting chaotic activity.
Wind.
Audience, what does it denote?
Drunkenness.
Intoxication.
Intoxication.
I'm going to give you 8 points because you got to the little starbursts and circles that show dizziness and intoxication are called squeens. So 8 points for that. Very nice. Okay. Try this one, Francine. What might be meant by cumulus lumetti?
Cumulus what?
Cumulus lumetti. C-U-M-U-L-U-S. Lumetti, L-U-M-E-T-T-I.
So it's a cloud.
A cloud, something cloud-like.
Maybe bad weather coming, something that indicates...
It's not the... is it the black cloud that hovered over Joe in Little Abner?
It is... no, but you're on the right track here. Remember that black cloud?
Yeah, that was great. Lumetti... Oh, is it the light that comes from heaven, the cloud that, you know...
No.
No?
Oh.
Is it always appertaining to a character?
Yes.
Boy, that really helps.
Yes. Don't say it out loud.
Is it something to do with their shadow?
No, it doesn't. I think I'm going to give you... You got to the cloud. I'm going to give you 4 points. I'm going to go to the other side. Any thoughts on the side?
No, it's not along like the cloud of dust that you leave behind.
No, that's Briffett's, I believe.
Yeah, we thought it was the voice of God.
I thought it was divine light.
No,
the light shining on somebody when somebody gets an idea or does the right thing. Glory.
What does that look like?
A light bulb.
The light bulb.
That's exactly what it is.
It's the thought bubble. It's the thought bubble that has the light bulb in it that says, aha. That is a cumulus lumetti.
So the cumulus part is the thing that contains the light bulb.
All right, the little cloud up there.
We should get credit because we mentioned that as the answer for the first thing.
That's right. We were just ahead of the question.
So did we.
You got 4 points, and I feel that was fairly generous, don't you?
Very generous.
Try this one, Paula. What might be meant by cumulus fumetti? F-U-M-E-T-T-I. Cumulus fumetti.
Well, it sounds like a cloud of smoke.
Well, not really. It's a cloud, all right. But
is that the black cloud that's hanging over you when everything's going wrong?
No, it's not that.
Is it a storm cloud?
No.
All right. Is it a cloud at all? No.
Well, in a way, yeah.
In a way, it's a cloud, and in a way, it isn't.
Yeah.
Okay. Is it a smoker's cloud?
Not a smoker's cloud. No.
Smoke rings.
No, smoke nothing things, like that. Yeah. Cumulus fumetti, as opposed to cumulus lumen.
Oh, it's when someone's fuming and angry and it's coming out of their ears.
I'm going to give you some credit for that. It's not what they say strictly is the...
Who is they?
I'll get to that in a minute. I'll get to that in a minute, but most of these come from Mort Walker.
Oh. Yeah,
the famous Mort Walker.
Probably that guy in the audience.
Yes.
Hi, Mort.
Hey, Mort.
Bring your door.
It doesn't have anything to do with anger.
Some people say yes. It isn't.
Some people.
Some. You know, when you have a schizophrenic for a host, you got a lot of trouble with the show.
No, you don't. Yes, you do. No, you don't.
Yes, you do. No, you don't. Yes, you do. Okay.
I'm going to give you 5 points. You're halfway there. Anybody want to help on the other side?
Why? These things that come bursting out of a character's ears.
That's what we just said.
I'm sorry. Is this you?
I should.
No, did I get to the right place?
This is wait, shut up.
I might let that one in.
I should know this because they're romance comic strips in Italy, but with photographs. They get actors Fellini had a great movie about it called The White Sheik, and they're called fumetti. The names of those comic strips.
Well, it is white. Are anybody from the audience?
Is it smoke signals?
No.
What is it?
Anybody in the audience want to take a shot?
Frustration.
Well.
Yeah,
yes.
Well, then you see it all over here. I mean, come on.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Walker. That's pretty close. It is an empty thought balloon, indicating confusion or indecision.
That's another one I'm having surgically implanted.
Yeah. That little empty thought balloon where the character is just, I don't know. That's the cumulus fumeti.
Clueless.
And finally, there's no way you're going to get this, Murray, but you'll never forget it. What might be meant by, and this is actually, we had this as a bluffing word. It has nothing to do with that. What might be meant by crottles?
What?
Crottles. C-R-O-T-T-L-E-S, crottles.
This is when a character is itching uncontrollably. And he's got the crottles.
Oh, God.
Crottles?
Yes, crottles.
It's an English breakfast cereal.
It is an English breakfast cereal.
Yes,
right. Crunchy crottles.
Lovely breakfast is tea and crottles.
With a bowl of crottles.
Right. Certainly. With a crottled egg.
I think it's actually a word that means things left behind by a squirrel, but I'm not sure.
Oh, please.
I'm not kidding. I think that's actually true. But it has nothing to do with this. Crottles.
All right. No, wait a minute. So this is this...
Are they footprints?
No.
But okay, the spots before your eyes.
Not spots, but you're in the...
Salami.
They're like X's. They're
I'm sorry?
Crosses. They're X's.
And what does that represent?
Being knocked out.
That's exactly right. 10 points. Nicely done.
We built an answer.
That was good. That was very good.
Well, thanks to them.
Crottles are little X's for eyes to indicate death or unconsciousness. 10 points. Nice job, you guys. And let's go on to round two, which is played with a little musical help from our friends, the B.G. Adair Trio. It's the first of the Says You Bluffing rounds. Paula, each of you will now receive a card defining a word. Only one has the actual definition. The other two have cards that say, please bluff. Those poor souls have a few seconds to make up a definition on the spot, good enough to fool Murray's team. 10 points are up for grabs to Murray if he can find the bluffer, or to you, Paula, if he can't. Take a few seconds to come up with a definition for the word heel tap. H-E-E-L-T-A-P, heel tap.
Oh,
folks?
God. Okay.
Says You's Fall Caravan of Cajolery stops next in Syracuse, New York, November 16th and 17th, for some salty language, a syntactical salute to the Salt City. On Friday, November 16th, we're at the Palace Theater on James, and on Saturday, November 17th, Hendricks Chapel on the University campus. Tickets, information, and details are available at saysyou.net. That's S-A-Y-S-Y-O-U, where if you follow that Join the Fun link, we promise to show you how to join the fun. So please join us November 16th and 17th for some salty language in Syracuse, a live performance of Says You. Says You returns after this from home. Many ways to enjoy Says You. You can listen each week, as we hope you do. You can download a show if you miss it. You can attend a live performance, like our upcoming shows in Syracuse, New York, or Boston. And now, there's the book, Says Us, The Scripts and Quips of Says You, Volumes 1 and 2, now available for gifts, for traveling, for holding open the back screen door for the dog. Information about all these items is available at SaysYou.net. That's SaysYou. We hope you'll take a look. Join the fun. Shop till you drop. It's all things Says You at SaysYou.net. That is the B.G. Adair Trio. That's Roger Spencer on the bass, Chris Brown on the skins, and of course, B.G. Adair on the piano. Thanks, folks. We have had a few moments with the word heel tap. We'll go first to Carolyn Faye Fox.
Heel tap, it's a strategic residue of sorts. Because heel tap is that bit, about a quarter of an inch of cocktail that you leave in your glass to indicate to the bartender that you're not ready for another round. That's the heel tap.
Ooh, listen to an ooh from the audience. That little bit of a drink left in the glass is the heel tap. Could be. Or it could be something else. What say you, Mr. Reisman?
It's dangerously close. Because it's a small implement used to scrape the dregs out of a barrel of spirits.
A scraper. A spirit scraper.
A spirit scraper.
Ooh.
Yeah, it has little squeens around it.
Little squeens around there. You get in there, you want to get that last little bit out of the barrel, you haul out the old heel tap and...
If you ever want to use that barrel again.
Okay. Could be that. Or, Paula, what say you?
I don't know where you get these words, Richard. I mean, you know, heel tap, at first it sounded to me like it might be that end of the heavily toasted Ezekiel bread that I keep trying to like, you know, but never have developed the taste. But anyway, it must be kind of derived from that because it's breadcrumbs strewn out for birds.
Breadcrumbs for the birds. Throw out the heel tap and you're knee-deep in sparrows. Could be.
Sort of like...
Well, they ain't hummingbirds.
Avian chum.
Yes.
Avian chum.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you folks are going to applaud for avian chum, huh? Well, that clears things up for us, doesn't it?
It's like the real name for fish man.
So it's either avian chum, we're going to go with that.
I like that.
The spirit scraper from the bottom of the barrel or the little bit of drink that you leave in the glass. It's one of those three, and the choice, Murray, is yours.
You know, we're down on Broadway here in Nashville, and we were right outside Robert's Western World, and there was a guy passed out on the street. This was Saturday night after all, and trying to get that last little drop that had gone down to his boot. And never mind. I thought it might have been something there, but no.
Has anyone here ever been in a marching band? I spent my childhood in Mexico, a country that has about 247 national holidays, and you have to march for every single one of them. And when you march, and you're really not trained to do it, about every 5 minutes, the guy behind you kicks you in the shin.
Exactly.
In formation, and we used to call it a pedrazo. And that's what the heel tap is.
Yeah.
But it's not your turn.
Go ahead, see if you can stop yourself.
I think if you're a tap dancer, you got to...
We'll set this one out if they want to blow it.
I think it's the first one, Murray.
You've got a toe tap and a heel tap if you're a tap dancer, but that's not on
I
offer.
Think I think it's the first one.
The first one sounds awfully good. The second one sounds awfully good.
It's a cute little drink term.
Yeah.
But I don't think spirits have dregs.
Sure they do. Dregs in a
beer and stuff. Mash.
No. But I think he may have made up the spirits part. Say wine, for example.
Okay.
Do they scrape out the dregs from a barrel of wine?
Yeah.
Probably. But they also sand them or something. I don't know. I'll take majority vote.
I go with the first.
What you think, Francine?
I'd rather have a spinal tap. If Tony feels strongly.
You know, fill it up. Don't fill it up.
Right. Okay.
What is that? The sound of a bird pecking on a heel tap?
I think this is the right method.
Heads number one, tails number two. Here we go. little bit of a drink left behind in the glass.
Carolyn, they flip the coin, and they think that it's a little bit of a drink left in the glass. That's what the heel tap is. Is that, in fact, what it is?
Heel tap, the small quantity of alcoholic beverage remaining is in a glass after
drinking. That's exactly what it is.
And a real tribute to the scientific method.
We want to thank George Washington for popping up on the top of this quarter. Yeah. I got to tell you. Thank you.
Appreciate that. Let's go on to round three, which is a round of cryptic curs. From the following puns, clues, and ridiculous references, please tell me the kind of canine I have in mind. An example, Mrs. Barker's past is Mastiff.
Miss.
Can we do a cat's category?
Yeah. That was actually one of the better ones. I
passed away.
I'm a little worried. Wow. Let's try this. Canine brought to mind, Carolyn, by the clue, broadcast beer.
Broadcast what?
Beer.
Beer?
B-E-E-R.
Airedale.
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 Thank you, Paula.
There you go. Airedale is correct. Broadcast beer is, of course, aired ale. All
right. Of course. Of course it is.
Yes.
If you happen to be on Pluto.
Try this one, Tony. Actress in lurid films, perhaps.
In lurid films?
Yes.
Actress in lurid films, perhaps.
Actress in lurid films. Don't say it. Does the other side?
We don't know.
No, you don't know.
Porn Iranian is a dog, yeah.
All right. It has to have the word maybe in there somewhere.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Actress in lurid films.
In lurid?
No, I don't think they're going to. Just out of curiosity, does the band know? No, the band doesn't know. Anyone in the audience?
Hot dog.
Bichon Frise.
No, an actress.
What? Blue Tick Hound.
Pekingese.
An actress in lurid films is a bee gal.
A beagle.
They really like that one, Richard.
I think they disapprove.
You know.
What's the phrase?
And a normal person would be embarrassed. But frankly, I like that one. That was a good one. All right, if you think that was bad. Arnie, nobody else in the world gets this but you. You're the only one's got a shot at this. Dog brought to mind by the clue, Gosfeld Grabber.
Oh, Doberman Pinscher.
I absolutely know it. Would you mind...
First of all, you have to be old.
Yes, that helps.
Way back in the beginnings of television, there was a show called Sergeant Bilko.
Yeah.
All right. Maurice Gosfeld played this little guy, Private Doberman. That's where you were going, right? All right.
Gosfeld Grabber is a Doberman Pinscher. Try this one, Francine. Kind of dog that might be brought to mind by the clue, riding to the physicians.
Riding to the physicians?
Physicians.
Dachshund.
Is exactly right. Dachshund. Yes. Instead of riding to the hounds, we were riding to the physicians. It's a dachshund. Dachshund. All right. Now they get positively despicable.
As opposed to
Yeah. Try this one, Paula. Tibia sprayer.
Tibia sprayer?
Yes.
Well, tibia is a leg bone.
Shin. Yep. Shin. Shih
Tzu. No.
Shin
is
tibia
right.
Tibia sprayer. Sprayers. Shin.
No, it's actually someone who does the spraying.
I see.
Someone who does
tibia
spraying.
Someone who does the spraying? Yeah. What is he, a landscaper
Shin
or
gardener.
Shin skunk.
Famous.
This is absolutely awful.
Tibia.
You want to know if I'm ashamed of any of these? I'm ashamed of this one.
Chien.
No.
A French dog. Perhaps it is a poodle.
You know, I wouldn't necessarily break in at this point, but I'm interested to hear the audience reaction to this.
How about the...
When I tell you that the sprayer is a hoser.
Schnauzer.
A schnauzer is exactly...
So it's not
just the kind of reaction I'd been hoping for.
A shin hoser.
I'm going to give you 6 points because I should.
Yeah.
You really should. A tibia sprayer is a shin hoser, a schnauzer, yes.
A shin hoser.
And finally, Murray, kind of canine brought to mind by the clue, outstanding set of patellas.
Oh.
Outstanding
knees. Set of patellas.
Knees. Patellas. Something knees. With knees.
Peaking knees.
Peaking
knees.
No?
No.
What kind of knees is there? There's a Balinese, there's a something knees.
Yes.
Peaking
yeah,
knees.
We've got
peaking
it.
Knees, right?
Peaking
outstanding.
Knees. Outstanding set of patellas.
Great. Terrific knees.
I don't think they know the dog. They.
Oh, got it.
The other side is having a seizure, a collective seizure.
A golden
as we say,
checkbox.
Of course we have it. It's not our question.
Not
that's the subtitle.
I believe the scorekeepers know. I believe. I know the band knows.
Is there Hebrides, New Hebrides?
No, are the ushers on to this? I'm just curious.
No, it's not not Maltese.
People next
you got
door,
the
no.
knees. I'm giving you 3 points. What is
wait,
it?
Great Pyrenees.
Great Pyrenees.
What?
Pyrenees.
Great Pyrenees.
Great Pyrenees.
Great Pyrenees.
Oh, that one you liked. Okay, I get it.
Okay,
an outstanding set of patellas is a great Pyrenees.
A
great Pyrenees.
I've never heard of that.
And before. That is that round of Cryptic Curves.
Hey, Richard.
Thank you very much.
Richard, did they get zero or anything here?
They got three points for that. I gave them three points.
They got six for a shin. We got two, three for a Pyrenees.
Okay. Let's not get into it.
We only got each. Don't give them anything.
Let's go on to round four. Which is Murray's team's chance to have a little fun at Webster's expense.
Good.
One of you will correctly define the following word. Two will bluff 10 points, Paula, if your team can find the rose among thorns. Take a few seconds to come up with a definition for the word zerk. Does anyone out there actually, don't say it out loud, do you know this word?
Yeah, I know it.
You do? I'm going to come find you in a second. All right. Zerk. Z-E-R-K. Zerk. Folks? Just a quick reminder, coming up this fall, Says You heads to Syracuse, New York, November 16th and 17th, for live performances of the show. And there's our holiday matinee in Boston, December 30th. Tickets, information, and details for all Says You tapings are available at SaysYou.net. And this holiday season, we're proud to announce the publication of our second book, Says Us, The Scripts and Quips of Says You, Volume 2. It's the consummate travel companion, a thoughtful gift. Everything to make the winter shorter and more fun at SaysYou.net. Briefly, Says You pauses. We'll be right back. Here's a reminder for all our New England listeners. Says You performs live at Regis College in Weston, Massachusetts, Sunday, December 30th, for the matinee we call In the Great Mayan Bai. And if, according to Mayan legend, the world ends that day, at least we'll all go out together laughing. If it doesn't, we'll all go out and celebrate. Tickets for that performance, as well as for our November shows in Syracuse, are available at sayu.net. That's S-A-Y-S-Y-O-U. That is the B.G. Adair Trio. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, folks. Let's take a moment and thank our scorekeepers. That's Sarah Amos on the right and Mr. Daniel Williams on the left. Thank you very much, guys, for keeping the score. We have had a few moments with the word zerk, and there is at least one gentleman in this audience that knows what it means. So I'm just going to ask, does anyone over here know what it means? Good. Then let's proceed. Tony?
Well, I would presume that person is Austrian.
Oh, really?
I don't know. I just felt like it.
Okay.
No, in Austria, as it's well known, after you eat der Mehl, you have der Zerk.
It's angry, you become B-Zerk.
And it is an Austrian pounded fruit candy.
Pounded? We got it. We got it. An Austrian pounded fruit candy is a zerk.
Poor Antonio is now on the roof.
Yes, the sound man is now going out to get
pounded.
A hearing
aid.
Well, it could be that. An Austrian pounded fruit candy.
Yeah.
Doesn't sound like something you'd want, but you never know. Or it might be something else. Francine?
Well, it's actually a greased nut. In the sense of...
I'm pretty crazy, and I got greased last night, I'll tell you.
In the mechanical sense.
Oh.
Of a greasy device on a screw, screwed on. You know, like nuts.
That's good for radio. Keep doing that.
You know.
You'll find another channel soon.
My thumb and forefinger are demonstrating a screwing motion.
Think about that.
And aren't you folks glad you were here to see it? Yeah. I gotta say.
So a zerk is a thing used in, it might come out of a toolbox. And yes. It is a thing that screws on to, with... those things that have threads. Like, you know, like something to do with nuts and bolts, kind of. Only
right.
With grease on it.
Something to
it's
do
a
with
thing
nuts.
That screws onto a thing.
It's a right. Thing that's, yeah.
It's a thing that screws onto, you know, like nuts and bolts, and it's greasy.
Yeah.
Yeah,
is that
I
right,
got it.
Pretty
right.
Much?
I got it.
And you can dance to it.
Or you can serve it with cocktails.
I suppose.
Millions sold at $9.95. Have yours for only $7.77. Yeah,
right. And that's going to be your definition, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Murray, zerk.
Mm-hmm. Zerk. Well, at first I thought it was a really annoying French guy. You are such a zerk. But then I decided that was reaching a bit too far,
yes.
So I decided not to say
we
that.
We never do that.
No. This is... actually... Even Arnie may not be, and I should hasten to add, are not old enough to really remember the great days of barnstorming and when biplanes would go do loop-the-loops and zigzags. And there's a kind of square maneuver where they actually try to do 90 degrees up and then 90 degrees across and 90 degrees down. And this is a zerk. It's a maneuver in aerobatics.
An aerial maneuver, sort of a square in the air. Mm-hmm.
Square in the air.
A square in the air.
Anytime I get on a plane.
Square in the air.
An aerial maneuver. A square in the air is a zerk. A greasy nut bolt. I'm not even going to go here anymore. and Austrian pounded fruit. You know, the fruit candy doesn't sound that bad anymore, does it? It's one of those three, and the choice, Paula, is yours.
Well, I'm not going to repeat the definition because it's unrepeatable, but I'm voting for Francine. And that's that.
I think that was the height of vagary.
The height of vagary.
Vagueness squared in the air. I think it's a greasy nut or something like that. It sounds like a... Because it doesn't sound like it's a pounded... I don't know what a pounded candy is.
Well, it might be like fruit leather.
How do you get it out of the wrapper?
No.
And barnstorming maneuvers, I don't believe, are even in the dictionary, because they predate the dictionary.
Oh, please, we've learned what's in the dictionary. Nothing we ever
But I think it sounds like a thing screwed onto a thing.
It sounds like, put that little zerk right there, and, all your troubles vanish.
All zerk and no play.
Right.
And that's our choice.
There you
and
go.
That's your choice.
Yep.
Well, Francine, they're going for the greasy screwed thing. Is that, in fact, what zerk means?
Zerk, a type of grease fitting named for Austrian inventor Oskar Zerk.
That's what I'm so glad they got that.
And why didn't you say that?
I'm so glad they got that.
Oh, that, I see.
Because let me tell you, a grease fitting is absolutely nothing like that description. So
no.
I am thrilled that they got it anyway. 10 points. Nice job, you guys.
Wow.
Well, we should get 12 points.
When I turned to my teammates and I said, what's a grease fitting?
Yes.
Neither of them was able to tell me.
I said plumbing, pipe.
So, Richard, what's a grease fitting?
A fitting, well, I'll let the gentleman in the first row describe it since you know what it is. What is it?
It's an object you screw in because certain joints need frequent lubricating. Mm-hmm. You apply grease.
You're telling me.
You apply. I need to have them installed on my knees.
Yeah.
Yeah. It looks like, when it's installed, anatomically correct, it's a nipple. That's what it looks like. You put a plug on it and pump the grease, and it goes right in.
And your name, sir, is?
Robert Harper.
Robert, right. Thank you very much.
Okay.
We appreciate it. Thank you very much.
We love a man who knows his way around a grease fitting.
Yeah.
Give that man a box of crottles.
Let's close tonight a round of What's the Difference? Oh. Help comes from Dave Reeves of Cicero, New York. Thanks, Dave, for your contributions to this category. Carolyn, what's the difference between a fire engine and a fire truck?
Let's see. A fire engine has an engine, and a fire truck can just be a toy.
You know, it is possible to lose points in this game, so you sort of want to do a better job.
Is it the number of men who can ride on it?
Not necessarily, no. That's
men
not
and
where
women.
You should go.
No. Okay, the difference between a fire engine and a fire truck team.
Isn't the fire truck like a pickup? Basically, it doesn't have all the equipment that a fire engine has?
Well, it's certainly about the equipment.
The fire engine have a pump on it?
One does. Has a ladder.
Yeah, it has
doesn't.
A pump. And it might even have the hook and ladder, but it definitely has the pump, I think.
It does.
And the fire truck does not.
The truck has the ladder, and the engine does not.
You know what? Yeah. Close enough. 10 points. Very good. Yep. And to be precise, an engine company is tasked with getting water on the fire.
Yeah.
And typically have pumps, water tanks, hoses. A truck company is predominantly tasked with search, rescue, and ventilation.
Okay.
Try this one. Oh, I really enjoyed finding out about this one, Tony. See if you do,
okay.
Too.
Okay.
What's the difference between parentheses and brackets?
Parentheses are used as an apposite? Is that the term for it? Is something that means, or there's an explanatory that adds a certain kind of like subtle touch to whatever it is you're talking about, or another word for it, definition. And brackets are when you can't find the parenthesis on your keyboard. And you're really going for the tilde, and you hit the others. Brackets is to indicate an absence of something.
Right. I think there are a couple of differences in usage. If you need to put a parenthetical phrase inside a parenthetical phrase, you use brackets.
That's true, actually.
That's one usage difference. But the other is...
conversely, brackets, and you can use parentheses.
That's when you have a parenthetical phrase inside a parenthetical phrase inside a parenthetical phrase.
Which actually isn't there.
Right, exactly.
Then,
you knew that. Absolutely.
I'm going to put an end to this real soon.
But also, if you interrupt, making a little digression or something, use parentheses, but if you interrupt the voice of the writer, for example, to put in the word sick, the Latin phrase thus, you're quoting somebody to know that's the way it was, then you use brackets for that.
That's true.
You know what? I'm going to give them the 10 points because I want this to come to an end. And
I knew if I talked long enough. Yeah.
Something would come out.
Brackets.
The other side, can you clear it up any at all?
No, we would have done that much quicker, though. We really would have. Parenthetical phrases versus explained.
Parenthetical phrases have nothing to do with what's missing or what needs to be explained.
That's right.
It's just an addition.
Try this one, Arnie. What's the difference between a disciple and an apostle?
An apostle is a follower. As in a simple follower of the leader, but a disciple studies what the leader knows and believes what the leader believes.
Mm-mm. Well, you're pretty good on disciple, but for apostle, I've got to take issue here.
Okay.
Any other thoughts on that?
Apostle, you really sign on to take it very seriously.
Yeah, and that has a certain...
You don't question.
So apostle is more serious than disciple?
I think more committed would be fair to say, but that results in something that I think is a real difference here.
Apostle is what defines you. It's what defines you more than anything else, whereas you can be a disciple of yoga, but you're not defined by that.
That's true, but Arnie, where were you going to go there?
Leading the movement. You can be a successor.
The apostle has given himself over and that you could take over from the person you're an apostle.
You know what? Pretty good.
Yeah.
Give him 10 points for that. That's getting there because you did a good job with disciple. If you're going to be strict about this, you can call yourself a disciple, but you have to be anointed to be an apostle. That's one of the keys. And the other, there is a sense of the disciple being a student who learns from someone, whereas the apostle eventually becomes a teacher or emissary and actually becomes the teacher. So that's the difference, but you got 10 points and good job. Try this one, Francine. What's the difference between an orchestra and a symphony?
A
symphony gets paid.
Orchestra.
That's true.
Symphony.
Salaried or something?
Is it number of strings?
Yeah, I think
it is not the number of strings.
No.
Is it number of pieces?
In a sense, yes.
Yes.
Very much so.
A symphony is a piece of music. Beethoven wrote symphonies, which got played by orchestras.
And you'd never hear Melancholy Baby played by a symphony.
No, but you will hear it
played
by
an orchestra.
Absolutely.
Well,
there is a huge variety of orchestras. You can have dance orchestras, you can have jazz orchestras, but a symphony generally plays
orchestral music
in the European classical tradition.
That's true, and there's one very...
The size?
When we went to the size and the instrumentation, that was the important issue.
Symphony has to have all four sections, brass, woodwinds, percussion, and strings.
Right.
You know what? Give them the 10 points. That's good.
Right. And Spike...
You know what the real key is? Brass.
Brass?
It takes brass to call yourself a symphony.
No, but excuse me. Wait, no. Duke Ellington
along,
and his famous orchestra would disagree with you.
I understand that, but an orchestra of any size usually has strings, woodwinds, percussions, and may have brass. But to play a symphony and earn the name, you must have a brass section.
What's a philharmonic?
That's next week. All right, let's try this. Oh, Paula, I enjoyed finding out about this too. See if you do. What's the difference between the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund?
Gee, I've often had that question. I'm like Francine here. I think the difference for me is I've known people who've worked at the World Bank, but I don't know anybody who worked for the IMF.
That's one difference.
Don't they both lend?
No.
Oops.
Okay, so the World Bank does not lend.
No.
No, the other way around.
Well, the International Monetary Fund is the one that the countries are always complaining about, right? So I figured that's the one they owe.
I don't think they...
They set rates?
Yeah, the International Monetary Fund sets rates. They don't loan to anyone.
And the World Bank actually gives money to countries.
What countries?
Countries they like.
I'd say that's on the money. Now, both are... Let me just read what we have here.
Yes.
The World Bank is exclusively focused on developmental projects in developmental countries. And they do loan money for those projects. The IMF has the mandate of stabilizing the entire global financial system regarding exchange rates, balance of payments, all that kind of thing. That's the difference. So if you want money, you go to the World Bank. And if you want your money to be worth more, you go to the International Monetary Fund.
Okay.
And finally, Murray, what's the difference between profanity and vulgarity?
Profanity, in general, taking the name of the deity in vain, for example, is profanity. It's profaning the name.
Yes.
Vulgarity, vulgar meaning common, low, dirty, that's the difference.
And that's pretty much just one other element. Can you just expand a little bit?
I think the difference is also a yearly income of about $40,000.
Okay, that's fine. That's just the element I was looking for. 10 points for that. Profanity does offend religious groups. Vulgarity affects the sensibilities, really. The usage of the terms have gotten pretty indistinct, but coarse or crude language in place of more acceptable words is vulgarity, but there's got to be an insult to be profane. That was a wonderful ending. 73 points, a very respectable total for Mr. Horwitz this week. But the winners, Paula Lyon's team with 85 points. Congratulations. That is all. That is all we have time for this week. Thanks so much to Rob Gordon, Henry Fennell, the unbelievable Donna Robinson, and all the good folks at WPLN here in Nashville. Thanks. Thanks also to Teresa Ellithorpe and J.R. Hutchins here at the TPAC. Schur and Salkin write the words. Antonio Oliard captures the moment. And Zach Moore is the VIP of APs. We close with the words of the inimitable Garth Brooks. You know you're not wealthy, he once said, until you have something that money can't buy. That's what the word is from Nashville this week, and we'll see you all next week. Support for Says You in Nashville, Tennessee comes from the good folks at WPLN, Nashville Public Radio. Give him the skinny.
Says You. Created and produced by Pippin and Finch, Boston.
Metro Nashville Public Schools introduces the Museum Magnet Schools, where students participate in inquiry and critical thinking to engage in the world around them. More information about the Museum Magnet Schools is available on the web at mnps.org or by phone at 259-4636.
Celebrating 50 years of community service and community support, this is 90.3 WPLN, Nashville Public Radio, 91.5 WTML, Tullahoma, and 91.7 WHRS, Cookeville. You can find a complete schedule of all our programs and listen to a live stream of any of our program channels at WPLN.org. It's 10 o'clock.
You all know the